Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by our special speaker, Pastor Ainsley Harmon. This message was recorded on May 10th, 2015, and is entitled Nurturing Spiritual Life.
My name's Paul Harmon. I'm the pastor of Hope Chapel. I'm glad that you're here. Today, it is my delight because I get to introduce our special speaker. It is my wife. Her name is Ainsley Harmon, and I'm thrilled as she comes. Would you come, Ainsley? Love to talk about you. Would you put your hands together and let's just thank you. Thank you. Honey, isn't it amazing? Next month, we're going to be married 33 years, and what a delight it has been for us to serve the Lord together. But I wanted to just say on behalf of Hope Chapel, what a thrill for you to address us because it's been an honor, honey. I think when I take a look at a couple in the book of Acts, their names were Priscilla and Aquila. And what a joy to see how that husband and wife team. Matter of fact, Priscilla was probably more instrumental in handling the scriptures than even her husband because it was Priscilla viewed as if she helped Apollos to understand the ways of the Lord more perfectly. And you have that gift. An anointed lady, those who know you, we need no explanation. Thank you for bringing the word. It was a timely word. And I believe for our year, thank you. God's laid this on your heart. I'm thrilled to say bless us. I release you to be all that you can be. Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, Paul. Yay. If you're not married yet, make sure you marry right. Word to the wise. You want to marry right. Boy, I just couldn't have done any better. And honey, I thank you for your affirmation of me. And it's just been a delight serving in ministry with you. And on this Mother's Day, this is an exciting Mother's Day for many reasons. Of course, with the new grandbaby and then hearing that one's on the way. But I'll tell you, I haven't gotten the Mother's Day present I want yet. Nobody has mom tattooed on their arm. My son doesn't have mom. Nothing across the chest. No, nothing. The only one in my family with the tattoo is my daughter. And it does not say mom. I'm going to see maybe she can squeeze that in, but I'm still waiting for that, you know, ultimate sacrifice, ultimate thing to say that, yes, I'm official. I'm a valued mom. So if it ever happens, we'll take a picture and we'll show it to you. Make sure that you know that it happens. But today we're going to be talking about life, but we're going to be talking about nurturing spiritual life. Nurturing spiritual life. That the fact that God wants us to invest in the lives of other people. God wants to invest in your life, and he wants what he has put in you to be deposited into someone else. In fact, that's the whole idea behind our theme for this year, which is multiplying life teams. That God would use that special person that you are and what he has put and invested in you to make the difference in the life of another person. Will you turn to someone and say, God wants to use you? God loves life, and he loves spiritual life. And how many of us know that the scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:6 that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it? How many of you have heard that scripture? And many times we think about that scripture as it deals with disciplining our children, that if we just raise them right and spank them at the right time and show them the value of good and bad and you know the difference between right and wrong, that when they're old, they won't depart from it. Well, that's true, but that's really missing the key to that verse. What that verse is talking about is training a child in the way he should go. In other words, finding the bent to that particular child. How many of you know that if you try to make an athlete out of a poet, you're probably going to have a hard time? Because if that is not the gifting of their life, they're not going to prosper in it. So this idea of training our children in the way that they should go, much means you find out about that child. You find the gifting in that one, and you help to steward that so that child is able to be all that they are able to be. And that you're used as an influence. As a parent, you are used and ordained by God to help that child find their way. But there's a lot of life that happens outside the circle of biological life. You see, you don't need to give birth in order to give life. You do not need to give birth physically in order to bring life to the life of a person. And God wants you to know that. You see, you are extremely valuable in the life of someone, and likely many people that you may have had nothing to do with ushering them into this world, but have everything to do with who they end up being as a person, and especially in the kingdom of God and in the family of God. So we're going to take a look at a relationship that was a very special one and how God used that to make an impact in the life of a young man who probably would not have fulfilled the calling that God had on his life were it not for the fact that someone had invested heavily in his life and nurtured spiritual growth in him. Relationships are important. We see it all through Scripture, that if God places a value on anything, he places a value on relationships. And we see many special relationships in Scripture, relationships having to do, again, with people investing in the lives of others. We could take a look at Moses and Joshua. Joshua would never have become who he did as a leader for the Israelites had it not been for the influence of Moses. If we look in Scripture, we see that Joshua was following Moses around every step of the way. We see him shadowing Moses every steps. And he ends up becoming this amazing, amazing leader for Israel. We could look at Naomi and Ruth and see how God used Naomi to invest in the life of Ruth, and that Ruth ends up having this amazing relationship with God, so much so that God sees fit that she should be the grandmother to King David. I mean, what an amazing, or great-grandmother. Anyway, right there. And so she has an amazing influence in the life of Ruth, who ends up having an amazing influence in her family. And we could also take a look at Jesus. Jesus did not physically birth his disciples, did he? But if there's anyone who imparted life into people and helped them to realize who they were and fulfill their calling, it was Jesus. But we're going to take a look at someone different. We're going to take a look at the relationship of Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy, a very special relationship in Scripture. And let's take a look at him. I'd like to invite you to open, if you would, to the book of Acts. And we'll be starting in Acts 16, taking a look at verses 1 to 5 to start out with. For the sake of time, I'm going to begin reading. I'm sorry if you're not there yet. Acts 16:1 says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." So we have here a discussion or a description, really, of Paul on his second missionary journey. It's believed that Timothy came to faith in Christ through Paul, perhaps on Paul's first visit to the region, that Timothy ended up coming to Christ. And we see that by the time Paul comes back through, that in verse 2, it says that he's well spoken of by the brethren. And because of this, Paul sees something in this young man, Timothy, and says, "I see something in you, Timothy. I want you to be with me." So Paul takes Timothy under his wing and ends up traveling with him, developing with him, investing in the life of Timothy. Timothy becomes so dear to Paul and so instrumental to him that Paul sends him on various missions, sends him to Corinth, ends up sending him to Ephesus. Paul commends Timothy in the book of Philippians, saying, I have no one like him. A trustworthy man is Timothy. He is so wonderful that I have invested much in this young man, and he is trustworthy, and he is a good companion. Six of the books of the letters that Paul writes to the churches, he uses, he'll say Paul, and then he'll include Timothy as a co-writer of one of the books. So in six books of Scripture, he identifies Timothy as being right there with him. So we understand that this relationship that Paul has with Timothy is a very, very special one. And so Paul has chosen to take this young man, not his physical son, but his son in the faith, take him under his wings and invest in him. And we're going to take a look right now at some of the things that Paul did that God is wanting for you to do. He wants life to be multiplied. God is interested in us nurturing the lives of other people, especially in the family of faith. I could teach somebody how to cook and make meals for, you know, to put in your freezer, but I'm not interested in that right now. This isn't what we're talking about. I'm not talking about teaching skills of that nature, but rather teaching a person to find their calling in life. What has God ordained for you to do? What has he deposited in you that is going to cause the family of faith to grow because you took what you had and you invested it in the life of another person? Well, let's see how Paul does this. If you'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll go ahead and read that. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. The first thing that we want to see with Paul in him working with Timothy is this. Paul understood and knew who he was. Right from the very beginning of this letter, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, by the will of God, by the will of God. Paul's saying to Timothy in this letter, Timothy, I understand who I am, and I have been chosen by God to be an apostle. Now, he addresses actually a lot of letters this way, but this one is unique because this letter is addressed not to a church. It's not addressed to a group of people in a certain location. It is addressed to Timothy himself. Now, Paul had a very special relationship with Timothy, and it is likely that this is the last thing that Timothy read before Paul died. And Paul is wanting to invest in Timothy, and so he addresses him not as we might expect, not Paul, a father of the faith, not Paul, your co-laborer. But he says, I am Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you, what would you say about yourself? Paul isn't saying, I don't know if I'm an apostle or not. I mean, I don't feel like one. I don't feel like I've done a very good job being an apostle. I mean, I don't know why God picked me. I don't know why he invested anything in me. But when I hear some of you talk, that's how you talk. Well, I don't have anything. Nobody would want to listen to me. I don't have anything to give. I don't do anything that well. Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying to you, are you a child of God, called by God? Because you are. You see, he's called you to give you life. And he has made you someone unique. Can you say, I am Ainsley, a child of God, called by God? Well, you wouldn't say that because Ainsley isn't your name. But I hope that you can put your name in there and say, I, blank, have been called by God, and God wants to use me. I know who I am in Christ. Can you begin to get that down? You have been called by God. By the will of God, you have been called. Everybody to something different, everybody to something unique, but called nonetheless. And Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, let's just settle this right now. I know who I am. And I want you to know, as my dear son, who you are. So understand, please, understand who you are. Paul understood who he was. He was helping Timothy to come and understand who he was. Next, Paul knew how to care. He knew how to speak kindly to and of Timothy. Verse 2, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing quite like having somebody put their arm around you and just say, I love you. Well, are you special to me? You are a gift from God to me. I thank God that you are in my life. Timothy, you are to me a beloved son. Have you ever heard the phrase, beloved son? Is this my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased? Do you think Timothy might have been trying to impress Timothy with that same fact, Timothy? Just as Jesus was a beloved son of the Father, you are my beloved son. Not from my body, but you are very much my beloved son. And he speaks to Timothy tenderly, speaks to him kindly, and speaks of him very well. As I mentioned before, there are other references in Scripture where Paul is talking about Timothy, and he speaks just the kindest and most uplifting things about his son in the faith to other people. You can do that. You can speak life to that one whose life you are investing in. Speak kindly to them. Speak well of them. Speak to them words of affirmation and love. This is one of the things that Paul did to show his care and investing in Timothy. Next, he prayed for him. We see that he says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayer night and day. Paul understood that if Timothy was going to become everything that he was to become in the faith, that it was going to require something of Paul. Paul didn't naturally birth him, but Paul was going to be giving his life so that this young man could be everything that he could be for Christ. And Paul says, I don't stop praying for you. There's not a time that I cease to pray for you. It's interesting. We get kind of confused sometimes about prayer. Paul talked about prayer last week, an excellent message. And we understand that if we pray according to God's will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we've asked of him. One of the things that we don't realize about prayer is that in order to pray the will of God, you have to know the will of God. And much of prayer involves finding the will of God. That is one of the big reasons that we pray. We are attempting in our prayer as we labor with the Lord to find out what it is that he wants. In this case, Paul for Timothy. What does God want for you, Timothy? So that he can pray that. So that what is on earth and should be on earth, or earth, is the same in heaven. And that when these two come to meet, we've got a bingo. We've got a sure thing. And so Paul says, I don't cease to pray for you. Why? Because I want to find God's will for your life. Don't you want to be praying God's will for your children and for those whose lives you're investing in? If you can understand some of what it is, you can pray so that it will happen. And Paul does that. He prays unceasingly for Timothy because he knows that Timothy's life needs nurturing. Timothy's life needs caring for. And he understands that prayer is a big part of that. Next, he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Paul enjoyed his time with Timothy. They got to travel together. You really get to know someone when you travel with them. Isn't that true? Have you ever been on a missions trip? How many of you just went to ladies' camp? I can tell you who spends more time on their makeup. than the other ones. You can tell a lot about a person when you travel with them. And Paul is traveling with Timothy, and they're going around, and they weren't in cars. They had actually a wonderful advantage, didn't they? That they were able to spend that time walking together, you know, riding on their donkeys, whatever they were doing to get from point A to point B, but it was a meaningful time. And the time that you spend with people is valuable. In fact, we can't overestimate the value of actually spending time with people. And in our world and in our society today, that's one of the most valuable gifts we can give to anyone. That if we give them the gift of our time, that we're giving somebody something huge. This was so special in the life of Paul and Timothy that when they were separated this last time and Paul was going off to prison, that Timothy had a good feeling, I'm not going to see you again. And he is bawling his eyes out. His mentor that he loved, Paul's thinking about Timothy's tears. And I encourage you with something. When you're with someone and you have the blessing to have time with the person, will you be present? Will you be present with them when you're with them? One of my mother's big beefs. I'm going to tell on you, Mom. My grandkids come over and I can't get them off their phone. How many of you have had the same complaint with somebody that you know or love? You don't feel important when somebody's dividing their time between you and a device, that other person is more important than you are. When we're with people, we want to be present because you can't invest in someone that you're not truly looking at. Many of us have had the experience or watched this happen where a child goes, Mommy, 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 Mommy. And you look down, what? Mommy, 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 what? Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. What are they doing? They're waiting for you to stop. And they're waiting for you to get down. And they're waiting for you to look in their eyes and give them every bit of yourself. That you're giving 100% of yourself to that child when you stop what you're doing, you put down the dish, you put down the book, you put down the laundry, and you stop, and you actually get down and you look at them and say, what, sweetheart? What do you need? What can I do for you? Oh, nothing. Off they go. They just wanted to make sure, are we okay? Am I important to you? Am I valuable to you? If you can stop what you're doing to look into their eyes, they're happy. They're comfortable. When you're with people, be with them. Be with them. And invest your life in them when you're with them. Paul did that. He knew how to do that. Next, know who they are. Know who they are. Acknowledge their faith story. Look at this. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. People have a faith story that is their own, and it's helpful to know that. Get to know a person. Paul understood that Timothy's mother was Jewish and that his father was Greek, and he understood that Timothy's mother may not have been a real devout Jew, because her son wasn't circumcised. Either that or dad said, no way. But he understood something about Timothy and about his walk of faith. And so because he did, he was able to speak to that and invest in the life of Timothy in a very particular and pointed way. He knew Timothy's story as well as he knew his own. Do you notice him saying that I serve God with a pure conscience as my forefathers did? Do you know that Paul, the apostle, was extremely proud of his heritage, his Jewish heritage? You find that out in other books of the Bible as you read through, especially Galatians, where he talks about what family he's from and this amazing spiritual history that he has. He was very excited about that. Knowing somebody's faith story is an important thing if you're going to invest in their life. And then affirm their gift. Look at verse 6. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul has been building up to this particular point in this section that he has been very concerned for Timothy, because Timothy has had some blows. Paul sent him to Corinth, and it didn't go so well there. When he was in Corinth, the job that Paul sent him to do didn't get accomplished, and Paul had to send another disciple, Titus, to go into that situation, really kind of firm it up. And Timothy, at this point, we're wondering if he's not a little bit wavering, that once he is in this role, he's actually in Ephesus at this particular time, working as pastor in Ephesus. Many of us have read the book of Ephesians. Timothy was responsible for this group of people, and it was a challenging assignment. And it's thought that Timothy was thinking, man, I'm over this. I don't know what to do. I'm done. And Paul's saying, Timothy, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Stir up that gift within you. Come on, Timothy. Think about those people whose lives you've been ministering to. Get that pot. You know, stir up that party. Come on, Timothy. You can almost hear him in the background. Harder, faster. Faster. Why? Because Timothy was discouraged. And as one who's invested so much in Timothy's life, and he knew his potential, and he'd been praying for him, and he'd spent time with him, and he knew who Timothy was supposed to be, and he's helping Timothy to come into this great calling that Timothy had for his life. Don't you give up! You keep stirring that up. And there are so many of us who need that stirring time after time. It's so important that we encourage people. Do you realize that your encouragement of someone can keep them from quitting? That whether we have a children's church worker or a new usher or a greeter or a parking lot attendant, someone that works on the property around here, someone who's leading in worship, someone who's serving us food, someone who's whatever it is that they're doing, bringing the word or anything, how important that it is to say, keep going. You can nurture the spiritual life of someone and cause them to see something that they have that God deposited in them, and God uses you to bring that particular thing out. He says, stir, Timothy, don't give up. You stir up that gift. I laid my own hands on you and declared and set you into office. He's referring to Timothy's ordination. Don't give up that gift that was given to you by the laying on of hands. Come on, Timothy, go for it. Who's needing your help? I remember being a new pastor's wife. I was 24 years old. I did not know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. And how nice it would have been had there been another pastor's wife really close by that would have said, Ainsley, you gotta have to be careful about A, B, or C. Or think about this. You know what? I wish somebody had told me that your biggest role is to be wife to your husband. Pastor's wife. Gosh, some things just need saying. You're the pastor's wife. Do you know that probably your biggest role could be to encourage your husband? No, I didn't know that. I was busy filling in here and filling in there and doing this job and doing that job. And meanwhile, my poor husband is over in left field thinking, does she have anything left for me? You see, I could have used somebody to say, you know, as a pastor's wife, You're the most important thing you can do is make sure your husband's strong. Light bulb. What light bulb is God wanting you to flick on in the life of somebody else? He's wanting to use you to stir up that gift. He's wanting to use you to flick on that light bulb. And lastly, Paul says to Timothy, you need to know your God. You need to know what he's done. Timothy, God has not given to you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Timothy, know your God. Your God doesn't leave you. Your God doesn't call you into something he doesn't equip you to do, Timothy. Know your God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You're not to be held back. He's given to you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I know about these things about God. This is for you. This is for you to understand, Timothy. You need to know your God. And you need to know what it is that he has done. As far as we know, Timothy ends up being faithful, that eventually he becomes the first bishop in Ephesus, and that he stays the course, that the investment made in his life through his mentor stays with him forever, and that this nurturing of Timothy's life was not in vain and didn't fall to the wayside and produce nothing. So God is wanting you to nurture spiritual life. And remember, you do not need to have given birth to give life. What you need in order to give life is to give your own life. God wants to use you to give life. And there are women in this room that God has used you, that you're investing in the lives of children, teenagers, adults, maybe grown parents. It doesn't matter whether or not you have physically given birth, but God is using your life to nurture spiritual life in the lives of other people. And we see the value of that, and so does the Scripture, so does the Lord. And we want to honor you this morning. And so I'm asking those of you who have influence in the life of another person, if you're a woman, would you stand at this time? We want to honor you. You may be a mentor to a junior high student. You may be someone that babysits somebody else's children, and the life of God is flowing from you to someone else. To God, that is extremely valuable. We want to thank you for nurturing life. We want to thank you for letting your life be an impact in the life of someone else. Men, we're grateful for your contribution too, but today is for the ladies. Paul.
I want to thank you, Ainsley. That word that you just gave to this group of people, I think, is one of the most profound ways to remind us what our call from the Lord is for this year's theme, really mentoring life teams. And don't you feel the charge for each and every one of us to give our life really is going to make profound impact? Matter of fact, Ainsley started that passage with our theme scripture in 2 Timothy 2:2, teach these things to faithful individuals who will in turn teach them to others. So I want to thank you as you and I get a chance once again to just say thank you to our mothers. Thank you for our ladies who are investing in other people's lives. You make a big impact. This church personally would not be where it is without the dedication of so many godly ladies, and we see a great example of you who are standing here. I'm going to invite the rest of us to please stand. Let me now just pray a wonderful blessing off. And make sure that you get a chance, though our little video clip earlier said we're going to take you to lunch, we're going to take you out to where there's free donuts. And just go for it, ladies. Gentlemen, would you make sure that there's not a woman without a donut? So if we see a man with a donut, that's a little bit you're cutting in line. How about you say amen? But thank you again, honey. Love you. I'm so proud of you. What a great thing. And I will just say what you've heard from my wife's heart has really been an example throughout the years. Throughout the years, she has invested in her own children who are now investing in others. And we're grateful as a family, a faith family. We welcome you back to Hope Chapel. If you're looking for a church to get established in, man, what a place. This church is a gift to our city and as we release people, even to our world. So thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for your goodness. As we just recognize these dear ones, first our mothers, but Lord, also our spiritual mentors, that women have a strategic role in the life of our society, but more importantly, in the godly influence, Lord, we speak a blessing upon them. And we want to thank you for the time that we've had together today. This was an important time. We believe you're going to enrich every household represented because we have come into the Sabbath to say we will honor God, who in turn brings life to all men. Lord, bless each and every one in their relationships, and let their, all of our lives, continue to leave a legacy that we pray, Lord, now will last into time and eternity. May what we do in these days ahead be recognized when we come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen,
amen, everyone. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.